Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 22. This might be 24. This is 24. I already screwed that up. I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Lee. We're just going to go with it. And I'm joined by, we are live tonight. I've got Miss Brittany Mollis at Bird's Eye View. Hi, Britt.
Hello.
And Meredith is also with us live at MKN Sports. Hi, Mayor.
Hi.
All right, so we were just alluding to this, but for whatever reason, this week has been crazy, I think, in all aspects of our lives. So I first want to ask you guys, how are you guys doing? What's going on? Can you answer that publicly? Can this be on record, actually? Do you need to mute your mic?
It feels like everyone's going through something right now. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
It's just like everyone is just like burnt out and kind of grumpy. I don't know what it is. Is the retrograde thing happening? Like the Mercury and Gatorade or whatever?
So I think what it is that we have been in quarantine shutdown mode for so long. And then all of a sudden it's like no masks, everything is open. And I don't think we were prepared. Like I felt like, you know, the shutdowns and everything happened really, really slowly until they didn't. And I feel like we're all being forced back into normal society. And I don't think anyone is mentally prepared for it. And I truly think that has to do with a lot of it.
I actually miss the beginning of quarantine when all the pressure was off and nobody was allowed to do anything. And everyone was just sort of chill with staying at home and being safe. Like that was awesome looking back on it. And I know the circumstances are terrible, but like looking back, I'm just like, man, that was kind of nice.
Remember when we all like, all five of us, the three of us, and then Angela and Jenna all started tweeting at each other for what was it? The Love is Blind.
Yes.
Finale. Yes. And we just like there was nothing else going on. So we all like started our Netflixes at the same time and tweeted about the show with each other.
There was something very sweet about like that specific time. And then now here we are and nobody knows how to behave anymore.
Yeah. I will say I was off the cusp for a good, I don't know, like 4 days or so. I was checking in here or there, but I wasn't really like reading my timeline at all on social media. So we had a foster care placement for just a few days. And I went from 2 kids to 3 kids, which I totally underestimated, man to man going to zone, defense, because you know little dude he's like a kid and a half honestly with what he requires. But I was just so busy, and then I would get to nighttime and I was so exhausted I would just pass out. I do enjoy reading Reddit at nighttime, so I was choosing Reddit over Twitter, to be honest with you. And then I got back on to Twitter yesterday really, and then today, and I was like, holy crap, like how long has this been going on?
I can't. People keep asking me, like, what's the toilet talk about? I'm like, it's too stupid to even try. I'm not even doing it. There are some things that are just too stupid to even talk about, and that's just one of them. I can't.
Okay. Well,
what's your favorite subreddit, Brie?
Okay, so I'm in a few. This is going to sound like really weird and bizarre.
I have a group of guys that I hike with, and they judge everyone based on which subreddits you subscribe to.
Okay, so I am obviously in Browns. I'm in Indians and Cavs, like the Cleveland Reddit boards. And I'm just an observer. I don't really comment on those at all. And then I'm in an IBD one for my autoimmune disease, where it's pretty much people just commenting about symptoms and wanting to be diagnosed on the internet. So that's always an interesting one. And then I also frequent, there's a foster parent one that I'm in, an adoption one that I'm in. And then I used to be obsessed with Jesse James Decker. And then like one day I found out she was like a huge fraud, and there's this entire Reddit board about her and her family drama. And it is like my favorite Reddit board that ever exists.
Ooh, so I need to go find that Reddit board. That's incredible.
I will send it to you. Send it to you. Very entertaining.
I love it.
That was my last 4 days. I'm still trying to catch up on sleep.
I don't know how you do it.
Sleep is a little overrated, but we have a fun show. Otherwise, we're going to get into even more topics of conversation. We have some Browns things to get into. Brittany was on a couple of shows earlier this week, and then we all three, the three of us, joined a really fun show last night where we did our way too early season predictions for the Browns. So I want to just touch on that for our listeners, so that you guys, if you guys want to listen to that in full, you can go ahead and go find that. It was on the Orange and Oranger podcast. So that is out there and live, but we'll recap what we talked about. But first, I wanted to bring up our favorite ad read of all time, and that is Manscaped and the new product that they have out there, which is the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. You know what? I don't think I've done a live ad read since the Lawnmower 4.0 has been released. So no, you guys that are watching this, this is a treat for you because Brittany laughs the entire time on mute and I have to hold it together the entire time. But Manscaped, we love them. Men love them. 2 million men worldwide, in fact, trust Manscaped. And we have an exclusive offer with That's What Bea Said for 20% off and free shipping using the code FANSIDED20. So the Lawnmower 4.0, we talked about this. You want to take care of your family jewels, right? When you're getting after those pubes, you want to make sure that you take good care of them. So the Lawnmower 4.0 has the ceramic blade and has skin-safe technology. If you didn't know this, Manscaped actually worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure that your testes are as safe as possible. The other functions that we love about the Lawnscaper, the Lawnmower 4.0 is it's travel friendly, the wireless charger, and then it has a 4000K LED spotlight so that you don't miss any of your hairs. So again, just as a reminder, we have an exclusive code for you. It's 20% off plus free shipping using code FANSIDED20, and you can go get that at manscaped.com. Happy trimming, men and women.
Brie, I'm a little disappointed in you.
What?
Because what did I do? The very first line of that ad read says something very specific, and this is the second week in a row you haven't read it.
What is it?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. This is your pubic service announcement. I literally just thought that said public. I was like, that's so weird. I am sorry, Manscaped. That is actually great. I have let them down.
I was waiting for your pubic service announcement.
Oh my God.
Pubes is so funny, just in general. Pubes.
As soon as you said it, I just lost it.
You know, I mentioned last week that my parents listen to this show, and my mom listens every Saturday morning. She goes on runs, and she, you know, she came over this weekend and she's like, I listened to your show on Saturday, and I was just waiting for some sort of pube lawnmower Manscaped talk. But she didn't. She brought up the Meredith. She was like, I didn't agree with Meredith on the gatekeeping. I was like, really? I thought you were gonna bring up pubes. So I'm fine with that.
Really? What did she disagree about? I want to know.
I'll have to ask her again because I literally was so distracted that I just totally was preparing myself for like the Lawnscaped or the lawnmower conversation that I kind of zoned out a bit. I feel like my mom was more so along the lines of like, she's a boomer Browns. So it's like, we've lived through so much. And until you've experienced that, you never understand. I think that's her take, but I'll have her confirm.
I can't.
So hi, mom. I hope you're enjoying your run. Okay. So let's get into, let's kick off with a couple of the podcasts we had the pleasure of joining earlier this week. So Brittany on Sunday got to join a podcast, and it was the Not the Same Old Browns podcast with Andy, our good friends Andy and Caitlin. And they ended up ranking the sexiest Browns players of all time. And I'm so bummed that I missed this because I was literally passed out on Sunday. But Brittany wanted to bring this up to Meredith and I so that we could go through our ranking because she said it was just hilarious and a blast. And I think this should be a revisited conversation. And before we get into this, I have to clarify, this is sexiest as in like looks, correct?
It's like everything, like okay. Just general sex appeal. So, okay. Like,
so whatever you define.
Yeah, my list wasn't totally like, you know, like Miles Garrett, brrr, like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that. It was like,
that, I can't wait.
That special thing that a man has is just like, oh, that's it. You know,
All right.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sex. And this was with Andy and Caitlin. Like the,
yeah. So Andy, the straight guy, and Caitlin, who doesn't like men.
I love this. That's even better.
The three of us were sitting there doing this. It was so much fun.
Okay. So for our listeners, go ahead and go listen, go find that podcast, download it, listen to it. But we're going to take that idea. And Brittany wants to hear from Meredith and I what our list is. But Brittany, first, can you tell everyone, can you go through your list and explain how you got to your top five, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So my number five, does anyone want to guess? Let's do that. You guys can guess.
Oh gosh.
You're not going to get number five. There's only two. Okay. There's two current Browns that are on this list.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is Miles Garrett anywhere on the list?
Miles Garrett did not make my top five now.
Wow.
Which I know sounds like a crime.
Because Miles Garrett literally has every single it factor.
I know, but like, in
are you giving away your list already, Meredith?
No. There's only one person on my list. And I feel like you guys are going to know who he is.
I hope it's
good. Oh, God.
Brittany knows.
There we go.
As the realization just hit her.
Okay, Brittany, I only, and Angie's in the comments right now saying Brady Quinn. I 100% know Brady Quinn is on your list. Is DeShone Kizer also on your list?
He's not, and I explained why, because we were talking about this on the show. And I was like, I think of him more of like a son, as like, you know, a little baby guy. So even though he's like, you know, a massive tank, there's not like the sex appeal. Like, I can't think of Colin Sexton as like sexy, you know?
Okay.
There's just like babies and then there's men.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need you to review the list. I am so curious.
So number five coming in. This is not a recent one. We're going all the way back to 2007 era-ish. It's not Brady Quinn. Number five is Braylon Edwards.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Just, you know, he had that smile and that like sort of attitude that he was like better than everyone, which he was at the time. Sometimes. So yeah, Braylon Edwards, number five. Number four, this is going to blow your mind. I don't know if you'll remember him, Meredith, because you haven't been a Browns fan for that long. You'll remember this guy. Do you remember Dennis Northcutt?
Yes.
That's my number four.
That's a good one.
Right?
Number four. Okay. I actually kind of forgot about him until you said that.
Yes. My number three is currently... This is where the current guys start. Number three is Kadarryl Hodge, who I think is so severely underrated.
That's a good one.
Yes. His skin is perfect.
It is. I want that routine. Drop the skincare routine. Okay, number two. Number two is Baker, because he has just everything. And I explained. Aww. I said the thing that made him sexy to me was when he shotgunned the beer and then like bit it with his... That was it. In that moment, I was done.
That Baker?
I was done for. That's all he had to do. So he's number two. And number one, of course, Angie, is Brady Quinn. Because why wouldn't he be? God. I can't think
of
it.
Yes.
That's my list.
Good list. Really good list. I actually might have some shockers on mine, too. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to guess either. But Meredith, do you want to go? Are yours all current players? Because I actually think we could have made this be current players top five and then... players from the Browns past.
So, well, my number one is not a current player. He only played four games, I think, for the Browns.
She only has one player, and we all know who this player is. I don't know how, like, we...
Why do I not know this? It's one
who
player
is the
on...
player that she always talks about on the Browns? He's not playing anymore.
Oh my gosh, duh! Tyrod Taylor. I can't believe that.
Well, actually, no, there are a few other rounds that I would say have some it factors. Like, I definitely think Joe Thomas has.
I literally was going to say Wyatt Teller, which I love Wyatt Teller. He's adorable.
So, Carly, his wife, and I follow each other on Twitter, and I don't want her to get mad at me. So,
no, okay. This is simply, you're not going after him. Let's just be
that's
clear.
True,
you're not
true.
Actually physically going after these men.
But yeah, like when we're talking about, so I think the only current Brown that I would have on my list, would probably be David Njoku.
That's a good
one. Former Browns, I would say Joe Thomas has an it factor. And honestly, I think I would put Joe Hayden on that list too, just because he did so much for the city of Cleveland. Yeah. And just like that community aspect is like, that just, that gives him so many points. And like, he was very sad to leave. Like, and I don't blame him for going to Pittsburgh. Like, he had to. But yeah, I mean, I would say that, that those are probably... be my five. Is that five? Tyrod, Njoku? No, that was only four. Miles Garrett.
I mean, that's like a no-brainer.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. So again, I could have had five from like the current Browns.
Yes. Oh my God.
On this list.
So we I have the entire offensive line.
You're so weird.
Or just the offense.
Right? Just the entire
that was oddly specific.
Meredith has a very specific type. Clearly.
I love it. Okay. So I have one current player on my list. And I have two guys with the same first name.
Is That's it a Joe hint. And Joe? Like the way, because I had a Joe and Joe.
No Joe and Joe?
Two guys with the same first name. And this is current or former?
Former.
Former.
They're both former?
Yes.
I give up.
Okay. I have his jersey. I was like making my list. I'm like, I own most of these players' jerseys, if that tells you anything. Jordan Cameron, loved him.
That was both of their number ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't listened yet. It's on my docket for my, I have to commute into the office tomorrow. So it's on my
Do you know
list
that he's
tomorrow.
Like the baby dad for Tiger Woods' ex-wife?
No.
Yeah. Oh. I found that out when I was doing my research. I was like, damn, I don't remember him being that cute. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was, he's adorable.
He was good.
So my other Jordan, still playing in the NFL, Jordan Poyer. You know Jordan Poyer?
I don't even remember him.
I don't remember him either.
He plays for the Bills now. He is dating that Rachel Bush girl. She's like an Instagram model.
He is very cute. That's a good show.
Wait, wasn't she on one of those teen shows in the 2000s?
Rachel Bush? I don't think so. She's only like 20. She's like turned 21. I don't know.
I was thinking Sophia Bush. She was on like the OC or something.
Yeah, she was on One Tree Hill, Sophia Bush.
Oh, okay. Sorry. They're all the same to me.
I also had Brady Quinn on my list because my dog is named Brady after Brady Quinn. I also own a Brady Quinn jersey, and I also thought I was going to marry him when I was at Ohio State because he's from Dublin, Ohio, and I used to go to Bonefish Grill and think that he would be there and fall in love with me. So,
did I ever tell you guys about my cousin who named her child Brady after Brady Quinn?
I mean,
she like she's,
that child
she's
is 13 now, right?
Yes. Yes. He's a teenager. But like also I think she's trying to deny it. Like she's legitimately trying to deny it. Like she's like, no, I really like the name Brady. I think it's a great name. And I was like, you told us very specifically you wanted to name your child after Brady Quinn and you chose Brady. Like, don't like she's trying to deny it now. I think she was like embarrassed by it. I'm like, mm-mm. Like you gave a human that life, like, and that name, and now you have to live with it.
Yeah. My husband just says that our dog is named after Tom Brady. Cause obviously my husband's a Michigan fan. So I'm like, no, it's Brady Quinn. Like, stop. How dare you? Also on my list, who this is an adorable human and I love him and I still love him. Andrew Hawkins.
Yes. Oh my God. Andrew Hawkins is such a
He's so cute.
He's hilarious too.
Hilarious.
Oh my God. He might be like one of the funniest people I've ever met. He is
great Twitter follow.
So funny. Yeah.
And then number one on my list, current Browns player.
It's gotta be OBJ, right?
It's OBJ. I like it. He is perfect.
One of my coworkers asked me about that once because we were talking about OBJ and I kind of went and he was like, what was that? And he was like, wait, is OBJ hot? Are women? And I was like, yes. Very much so. Yes.
Very much. Very much.
He's like, do women lust after? Yes. Yes, sir. Lust. They sure do.
Some gross. Lust.
A little gross. But yeah, I had to tell my coworker that, and he was shocked by it. I was like, no, like, women like OBJ, trust me.
Yes, we do. Miss him on IG. We miss you, buddy.
Oh gosh, yes, we do.
All right. Well, this is a great transition segment into our record. You know, it all goes hand in hand. But we also went on a podcast, The Orange is Oranger, last night. The three of us joined, and we gave our early season predictions. So I just wanted to recap for our listeners. You know, the last time we recorded last week, it was pre the schedule release. So we didn't have a chance to break down the schedule, who they were playing, if we felt like, based on how the games were falling, if that changed your point of views on wins and losses. Well, last night we had the opportunity to go through that together, and Brittany ended up, her early season prediction is 14-3. Is that right, Britt?
Yes,
14-3. I believe your losses were Baltimore, Kansas City, and Minnesota.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Meredith and I, we landed at 12-5. Same record, same ending, which is obviously an improvement to last year's season. And honestly, I had them winning against Kansas City. I don't even know who they're going to lose to. I like literally was like, who are the five losses going to be? Because I have them winning against everyone. So how does that work?
So one of the things that I heard, and this is like one of the expert opinions, is that they were saying that every single game on the Browns schedule is winnable. Like, they're not going to go 17-0. But you can make a case for every single game and why they would win it. And Joey agrees.
I see all the comments. She really just wanted to be on this.
She went right into the microphone too. No, it's a very, I think that's a really good point, Meredith. I honestly think that it is, every single game on the schedule is winnable. And there are some unfavorable times, I guess, and like weird instances where there's a short time in between games. Like when we play, it's the Denver game. And who's the game that we play before them? Because Denver's Thursday night. We play someone on Sunday at 4:05. Is it Arizona? So there's like weird. So. There's
prior
weird
to Denver?
Yeah. I believe it's Arizona, Denver. I could pull it up.
It's Chargers, Cardinals, Broncos for 5, 6, and 7.
Okay. And then obviously you have the Ravens game, bye week Ravens, again, which I know a lot of people were complaining about that. I think the Ravens are worse off than the Browns are because they have to go play the Steelers in between.
Yeah.
So I know like the schedule gods, like everyone's saying that we got screwed, but I think the Ravens actually, that's worse for them.
That's going to be the end of the season is going to be a really fun stretch of games because it's going to be all divisional games.
Oh, I know. Is that makes me stressed out. Is there one game you're looking forward to the most now that you know times and dates, or is there anything that makes you nervous about the schedule now?
Well, this when we were on Chase's podcast yesterday, I'm really excited for week 8. That is the home game against the Steelers on Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I just think that no matter what's going on for the Browns up to that point, I think it's going to be a momentum shift and a turning point for the better for the Browns. And I think it's going to be a turning point for the worse for the Steelers. Like, I think that week 8 is going to be so pivotal. And I think it's going to be a great game. Like, the fact that it's on Halloween and it's at home, like, I love everything about that game. I'm so excited for that game.
Are you dressing up? I know you'll be working, but are you going to be in costume?
I might. I've done it before. I might be the only person who does because everyone I work with, like,
trick or
nobody
treating.
Nobody works with that has a sense of humor. That kind of sense of humor, I would dress up. Sure.
What would you go as in the studio?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. If I wanted to go all out, I don't think I still have the parts for it. But my favorite costume that I've ever done was Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction, and like that one very specific scene where she ODs on heroin and gets a shot of adrenaline to her heart. So when I did that, like I actually had like a syringe, and I had some, like I was in college when I did, and I had some friends from the theater department help me out. And so we had this like flesh over the syringe, and like we put it on my chest with like set like SFX makeup, and I had like blood all over my face. Like, it was a great costume. It was so good.
I literally thought you were going to be like, I'll just put on cat ears. You were literally like, I need parts. I need the parts.
No, like the parts would be like the wig, because she has like a short like bob with bangs. And then, yeah, the main piece, which is the syringe with the SFX makeup and blood everywhere.
Ooh,
and perfect. Creepy. I hope you do that. I really hope you do that. And I hope you take photos.
Oh my God. I would literally be the only person dressed up if I did that.
Brittany, what about you? Any games you're looking forward to the most, or any ones that you are nervous about already?
I told you earlier, I was like, I'm already in Halloween mode. And that's why. Like, I just want it to be Halloween Sunday so that the Browns are playing the Steelers. And because number one, that's my favorite holiday. So I'm already like super excited about it. Now it adds something else to it, which I just love. So I'm going to watch Halloween movies all day, watch the Browns and Steelers. I'm not super I hate the fact that it's taking them so long to get into playing the division.
Yeah.
That's the part of the schedule that probably bothers me the most, is that it's week 8?
Yeah, I think that might be the first divisional game. Is that?
I mean, that's insane. So yeah, like the second half of the schedule is going to be kind of like, you know, you play the Steelers twice, play the Bengals twice. Ravens, yep. I think they're going to split. But, you know, I don't think they'll have a problem with the Bengals and Steelers, so I think they're safe with that. But, yeah, like Halloween I'm looking forward to. Christmas is going to be a fun game. I think, you know, we don't have to pretend to watch the NBA on Christmas. We can watch the Browns. We don't have to worry about the cat. Like, it's a great time. It's a great time to be a Browns fan right now.
Yeah, the Christmas day game was interesting. I was actually hoping, I've been hoping that the Browns would be playing on Thanksgiving for so long. Like, I was hoping that would be a game that we got in 2019, which thank goodness we didn't. We were on the national stage on Thanksgiving for that season. But I was hoping that we would get a Thanksgiving game this year. But I mean, we got Christmas Day. I think it's bizarre. I think it's a little weird that NFL is on Christmas. I'm not mad about it, but I always have enjoyed watching the NBA on Christmas. But yeah, I guess 4:30, it'll be Browns. My kids will still be hyped up, ready to go wrapping presents. So I guess I'll have that to look forward to. And then just add on the commotion of a Browns game happening in the background. So that'll be great.
A great excuse for me to blow off my family. That'll be like, hey, are you off on Christmas? Nope.
I'm working.
Sorry, guys, working.
I know. It's tough for everyone that is working, has to work on that day, obviously.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's just kind of like what it is in sports. And this is what I always tell young people who ask for advice or anything like that, is I always tell them that you need to be prepared to work nights and weekends and holidays. Like, those are those are the biggest times for sports. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you want to work in sports, if you want to have a career and a job in sports, you need to be prepared to work holidays, major holidays. You need to be prepared to work nights and weekends, and you have to be prepared to just be really, really busy while everyone else is partying. That's just the nature of the job. And if you can't handle it, then, you know, you're not cut out for this business.
So can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this, I guess this is a good segue into the Battle of Browns Twitter. We mentioned it earlier in the show. But you're making me just think about, there's this like interesting phenomenon happening in, I don't know if it's just Browns Twitter, if it's Cleveland Twitter, I don't know what's happening on Twitter specifically. I mean, Twitter is an opinion based forum, right? People go on there and just type out their thoughts, whatever, interactions, whatever. But it's gotten to a really interesting place where everyone is battling with everyone else because of people having podcasts, and there's people upset that there are podcasts out there, and there's a million Browns podcasts out there. I wonder if the Cleveland Browns, like, is this football team, do they have the most podcasts?
Yes. You don't even need to say
in the end, like, I don't even, how do you find that out? I don't know if that's true or not, but it's got to be up there.
I mean, so I've worked in multiple markets. Now, granted, when I first started out, podcasts like weren't as big. Like, I remember a bunch of people had podcasts when I was in college, but it wasn't really a huge thing. It wasn't as accessible to be able to start a podcast. I think that's part of it, is that it's so easy to start a podcast now. You know, it's, you know, one of those things that anyone and everyone can do, but I mean, I'm very entrenched in both like Washington, D.C. based Twitter because that's where I'm from, and also Nashville Twitter because I worked there for a year. And like, I could not name a single Titans podcast that's done by fans. I could name maybe one Washington football podcast that is done by fans, but I would say I've never seen, and like, I mean, and I'm pretty plugged into, you know, major markets across the country. And I have never in my life seen a single team with more fan-based podcasts than the Browns. And I was shocked when I moved here. I've been in Cleveland for 4 years. So this isn't a new thing. This is something that I noticed like 4 years ago when I first moved here. I was like, holy crap. So many just podcasts. So yeah, I don't think there is a contest. I think the Browns probably have the most like fan-based podcasts out of any NFL team, probably out of any sports team in the country.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. And like, to each their own. Like, if you'd want to do a podcast, great, go do a podcast. I just want to bring up something that Brittany, you tweeted out today, where, you know, we as Browns fans do have a ton of content out there, which is great. Like, I love seeing people that are passionate about things go figure out and share their passion with other people. And we've done the same thing. However, we recognized that we were also very passionate female sports fans, specifically about Cleveland and our Cleveland teams. And we all got together and said, we don't feel like our voices are represented. Like, we don't hear people like us on the radio or on other podcasts. Like, it just didn't exist a few years ago. And unfortunately, these people that are mad about all the podcasts that are out there specifically targeted the female content creators. And Brittany, I wanted you to just bring this up because I thought you just so perfectly worded a response to this, and specifically about why this is so frustrating for us specifically.
Well, I think the thing that bothers me the most is that, you know, you turn on, you know, the radio stations, and this is, no, I'm not trying to, like, you know, point fingers and be like, oh, radio. No, like, there's so much talent, you know, in Cleveland media, whether it be radio, writing, whatever. But there just wasn't, women just aren't represented. And it's unfortunate because we have a fan base that's full of, like, knowledgeable, passionate women. And you want the community around the football team and, you know, the Indians, Cavs, whatever, you want that to reflect that. I don't think that's asking too much. And today when I saw that tweet, and it's like, you know, the female podcasts are too much and it's embarrassing. Like, why do you have to single out the only two female podcasts that exist and say, this is embarrassing? What you guys are doing is embarrassing. But why? Because we have fun every week on a podcast and we're talking to our friends about sports. Like, what? Who considers that embarrassing? That's what I, like, I thought of all the people that, you know, have come up to me over the past couple years, like strangers, you know, oh, that's what B said. Like, no one has ever said, hey, girl, you're embarrassing. Stop embarrassing yourself. Like, that never happens. I read that today and I was like, you know, I got a text from my mom when I was on Jake Burns' podcast last week, and she was talking about my nieces and how excited they were because, you know, they put it on TV whenever it's, you know, live streamed, and they get so excited. So, like, young girls don't think this is embarrassing. I know your daughter doesn't think it's embarrassing. Our parents don't. Like, there's a lot of people that we filled a need, I think. And, you know, the fact that anyone would consider this an embarrassing show is almost laughable because we laugh a lot. We have a good time, but never once do we cross lines or say stupid things. Like, we just come on here and have a good time. And I hope that people listen and they have a good time too.
Yeah. Also,
I can guarantee that the person who tweeted that has probably never listened to our podcast once ever.
Right. I can't imagine that they would. Even for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. And so, like, one of the things that really kind of warms my heart a little bit is when we get emails from parents with daughters who say that they listen to our podcast. Because for me, like, I mean, I've been working in sports for about 10 years. Like, I got my first real sports job when I was about 23 or 24. And so I guess maybe closer to like 8 years then. But the thing is that when I talk to my colleagues and we talk about like how we got our start and like what our passions are, I cannot count how many times I've heard the story of, oh, I wanted to do this since I was a little kid. Like I had a colleague who told me about how he would like line up his, like when he was like 4 years old, would line up his stuffed animals in his bedroom and like do a talk show, a sports talk show to his stuffed animals, you know, at the age of four. And I was like, I didn't even think about getting into sports until I was probably 21 or 22. And it was just because my entire life, I've been listening to sports radio and I've been consuming sports content, like the Sports Junkies in Washington, D.C. I've been listening to them since I was in middle school. And it just, all I heard were male voices on, yeah, on the radio. And I would watch ESPN and SportsCenter, and I would only ever see men on TV. Then you'd watch the local broadcast and all the sports reporters were men. All the sideline reporters were men. And so to me, it just never like dawned on me that there was a space for me in this industry. And so when I finally broke through around 23 or 24, like it's been a struggle. And so when I hear of young women listening to us and possibly us inspiring them to go after it, like that's the part that gets me choked up, because I'm like, I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have women to look up to when I was little. So it got to the point where I didn't even try to get a job in sports until I was an adult. So I don't know what's embarrassing about that. I would love to know why that guy thinks that this is embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, I would also bring up too, and you touched on a little bit, Meredith, but you know, for as much of the like negative stuff that we get or comments like that, that, you know, like we spend a lot of time putting together this content and we're very thoughtful in our approach and thoughtful in what we do, how we carry ourselves, how we brand ourselves, how we market ourselves, how we post on Twitter. You know, we're not spineless. We stick up for ourselves. But we also are very just aware of how we come across. And it's already like hard enough to be taken seriously in this type of platform that we're just very cautious of that. And we do know that young girls are watching us and their parents are watching us. And for as much as the negativity that's out there, there is more positivity that we get on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of times it may not be publicly shared, but we'll get DMs, we'll get notes here and there, emails, really positive emails that just make our day. And someone had messaged me, you know, about his daughters and like not really having confidence, I guess, like really kind of struggling with just a time in her life where, you know, like when you're a teen or like going through that stage, like you kind of start to question things. You start to notice things a little bit more about your peers, how you fit in, how you don't fit in. And he mentioned that he showed her our podcast and was like, look at these three women. Like they go on and they talk about sports. And she thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And things like that are like, just make me want to keep going and not stop. And then the other one that I got recently was, it was a dad and he actually has a son, a teenage son. And he said his teenage son like made this comment, like girls, like, why are those girls talking about sports? Like, what do they know? And he said to him, and props to you, dad, he said to him, like, come take a listen. They know what they're talking about. And he said he like loved it and absolutely like stayed on and watched us and was like, yeah, like you're right. Like girls do know about sports. So even like that perspective of, you know, good on you, dad or mom, and having your son recognize and change their mindset or perception, because, you know, that's probably just unconscious bias, like right away of like girls don't know sports. What, like, why would I ever listen to them? And those things are just very encouraging. And, you know, I noticed too, like Aditi also, like, obviously like amazing NFL reporter, extremely successful, very well respected. We absolutely adore her. She always like encourages us and stands up for us, gives us advice. And she obviously deals with way more than we've ever dealt with on that and on that perspective. So, I don't know. It's just, we're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep seeing us. We did this all throughout Freddie Kitchen's era. That's when we started. It was not easy to to talk about week over week how much of a dumpster fire that team was. And then obviously we did this throughout a pandemic. Like, we continued to keep up with everything and we truly enjoy each other's company. So we hope that you guys all appreciate that and enjoy our company as well.
Yeah. And if I could toot our own horn for like a little bit longer, it's easy to talk about the Browns right now. Like, growing up, so my dad is originally from Cleveland, so he's a lifelong Cleveland everything fan. And I remember he used to get very pissed off at Steelers fans, because there's a lot of Steelers fans in the DC area. A lot of people who are from Pittsburgh, go to school in Pittsburgh or other parts of Pennsylvania, wind up coming down to DC to work. And, you know, so my dad would always get the Pittsburgh fans in his face in the office, like, all the time. And, you know, he's a Browns fan, even, you know, after everything the Browns have been through. And he always said, it's easy to be a Pittsburgh fan because they always win. Try being a Browns fan.
Yeah.
And I have heard that from my dad my entire life. Right now, it's easy to be a Browns fan. It's also easy to make content about the Browns because it's a lot more fun and it's a lot easier to make content about a solid, winning, successful team. And we started this before all that. We started this long before Freddie Kitchens. We started this before the pandemic. And like you said, Bree, we kept this up through the pandemic. We talked about the Freddie Kitchens era. So, I mean, just like, I just want to toot our own horns for a little bit for going through all that and still being here, you know, because it, like I said, it's going to be easy to talk about the Browns right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And more fun, obviously. But
yeah,
I tweeted about this today. And I think, like, if you want to support us, and we know that a lot of you do, the best thing that you can do for us is just continue to share our podcast, get our voices out there, download our content, rate and review us, share our tweets. Because, you know, we've done this organically. You know, we've built our following pretty organically. We haven't paid for followers. We haven't begged people to follow us. People have found us. They've enjoyed our content. And, you know, we are so thankful of that. And it's tough when you see, you know, we've kind of paved a way, I guess, in a sense. And I'm probably opening up way too much, but it's really tough, like, just trying to be a female voice in a voice dominated by men, and how hard it is to earn a follow when it comes to sports take from a man. Yet there are so many other men who will get follows just for the sole fact that they are a man tweeting about sports. So, you know, just keep that in mind. We appreciate all of your support. And again, just continuing to share our content, our tweets, our voices. We do really, really appreciate all of you. All right. Well, enough of the sappy, heartfelt stuff. I'm in my feelings this week, clearly. Yeah.
Aren't we all? I think I cried like 4 times this week.
It has been a rough few weeks. So
in my feelings. What man is going to share their feelings live on the internet for everyone to hear?
I'm always in my feelings.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Browns, because Andrew Berry actually was on Ross Tucker's football podcast today. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to catch this. Didn't divulge a ton of information. We have to have him on our show. You know, we had his lovely wife, Miss Britton Berry. We should get them on together.
That would be incredible. That would be so much fun.
So here's the thing. Britton would be 100% down. I have a feeling that Andrew would be like,
I feel like he would not be like, she would be pulling him out of his shell. Yeah. But it doesn't even be about Brown stuff. Like, I just feel like we need him and her on together. Yeah. And we can just be radio silent. Just let them.
I know.
That would be fun.
That is the content that Cleveland is missing, is, it, you know, meet the Berries.
Yes. You know, yes.
With Andrew. Maybe I should edit that part out so people don't steal my idea.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's live, right. So they already heard it.
My bad.
So he was on Ross Tucker football podcast today. It was about a 15-20 minute interview. And there were a couple of things that I just wanted to talk about a little bit that he brought up. When it comes to his particular role as a general manager in the NFL, he was asked about kind of who he holds as the ultimate GM, who's the best in the NFL. And he actually brought up Howie Roseman, who he obviously worked for when he was in Philadelphia. And a couple of key points here that he touched on that honestly, like, not surprised at all that he mentioned these three bullet points, because this is literally Andrew Berry to a T. He talked about the misperception of GMs just pick players and draft them. Like, that is what a GM's role is. Obviously, it's a very important part of his role. But he talked about how Howie specifically is smart, good with people, highly strategic, and also knows the scouting and day-to-day operations. And he also then made note of, it's really hard to acquire all of those skills and then also be competent in all of them. I thought that was really interesting because we often have talked about, like, he's football smart and he's like book smart slash analytical smart. So he has that like really nice balance of all of those things in one. Not sure if you guys, how you guys feel about that. If you like, I'm like, yeah, he literally described himself.
Well, and also go ahead, Brittany.
I just want to point something out, and I don't know if like this is just coincidence or if there's something to it, but look at his first two draft picks this year from Northwestern and from Notre Dame. Do you think that's just coincidence, or is Andrew Berry kind of like the smart guys?
He likes the smart guy, 100%. My dad made that comment. Like, he's going to be drafting based on GPAs.
I was like, we got a Northwestern and Notre Dame in the first two. Oh, you might be onto something.
Those are really hard schools to get into, regardless of how you're getting in, whether it's through athletics or academics. Those are very tough schools to get into. But I think also, I feel like people forget that GMs probably have to have some degree of economics or business in some way, shape, or form, because they have to deal with salary and cap numbers. Like, Andrew Berry's going to have a really tough decision because Wyatt Teller and Nick Chubb's contracts are up at the same time. And that's going to be because I'm sure he'll want to try to keep both, but both are going to want to get paid. So then you have the tough decision of, okay, how can I keep all of these players without trying to convince them that they need to be underpaid in order to stay here? So there's just, there's that human interaction that's part of it. There's that business sense, because I'll tell you what, people who are like really quick with salaries and cap space blow my mind, because don't even know. I can't even remember my credit card is due half the time. So like, there are so many elements required to be a general manager. And you're right, Bree. Like, people forget that it's not just picking players. It's not.
Yeah. Which I feel like is what our fan base tends to focus on. Obviously, you know, it's like they rate Andrew Berry or a GM in terms of who they sign or who they draft. But it goes obviously way beyond that. Like, you can't just be good at that. And I think that's obviously what John Dorsey was good at. Like, he could pick players, he could draft players.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't know if he was as good at all of those other things.
Yeah. I mean, his people skills are probably questionable.
Yeah, you're seeing what happens like with the Cavs right now with Kobe Altman.
Yep.
You know, he's a great at drafting. He's, you know, hit on every one of them. But people's problem with him now, and I shouldn't say people, it's just fans who don't really, I shouldn't lie to you. Sorry. But no, their biggest complaint right now is that, you know, the environment of the Cavs is so toxic. Everything around them is like burning, and they said Kobe Altman doesn't have control of anything. And you see what happens when you don't have the kind of GM that not only is great with drafting and evaluating talent and getting the right pieces together, but also a manager, because that's part of the title, general manager. That's, you got to manage these guys. So we're seeing that with the Cavs right now, which I'm not even going to get into because it makes me so mad. I can't even deal with it. Where did Meredith go? Oh, there she is.
Yeah, Brittany, I didn't put the Cavs in here for you, but you.
Thank you. Free. I can't do them. I can't do them tonight. I'm tired. They're exhausting. The fans Fans are exhausting. I just leave them away. Get them away from me.
Okay. All right. Well, noted. The another thing I wanted to touch on with Andrew Barry. So he was obviously asked about this upcoming season, obviously the roster that he's been improving this off season. And he said a couple of things that obviously are GM speak, but things that I just thought, like, he's just so smart in the way that he approaches everything. So he said, like, of course, every team is optimistic at this time in the year. Like, I totally makes sense. Everybody feels good coming out of the draft, typically. Like, every team, every fan base feels really good about their position and the chance to win in the upcoming season. But then he talked about what we're focused on right now is what we can control, because so much can change over the next 7 months. And it's so true. We tend to think, like, obviously ahead, the schedule release comes out last week, and we're obviously already giving our predictions, what we think the Browns record is going to be, playoffs, AFC Championship, Super Bowl. Like, we're already thinking ahead. Obviously the office, Andrew Barry, they are thinking of, like, we are still working to build this roster and finalize the roster. So just another really good reminder of just the mindsets between the actual front office and staff versus what a fan is traditionally thinking at this point in time. And he said, you know, obviously, like, the goal is to reach these milestones and make it to that point in the season. And he acknowledged it takes preparation, hard work, their favorite sayings. But then he also said a little bit of luck to reach that point, which I love that. Like, I do think, like, you do have to have a little bit of luck on your side when you get to that point, or when you get to certain points in the season. And I do think the Browns probably experienced a little bit of that last year as well.
Yes.
I mean, what, 4 turnovers, 5 turnovers in the wild card game? You know, like, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, and it's what you do with the luck, because, you know, all those fumbles from the Steelers in that wild card game could have easily been recovered by Steelers.
Yes.
You know, or it could have been, you know, or
the ball could capitalize on it.
Yeah, or the ball could have gone out of bounds, which would have made it a Steelers ball just wherever it went out of bounds. So there were moments where that ball was loose and there were opportunities for it to go back to the Steelers, and it didn't. You know, that was the luck, was fumble or the missed pass or Big Ben in the end zone, whatever you want to say. Like, and then it was just the Browns players recognizing and capitalizing on the luck. So yeah, like, it's a combination of everything, and it's just knowing how to react when things swing your way. And that's what the Browns were so good at last year. And I really hope that kind of thing continues this year, because it just, there is no ceiling for this team right now. And it's so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty mum about everything else. Like, they asked him about Baker Mayfield and the possibility of extending him. You know, he gave the typical answer of, like, I'm not going to give you that information of, like, what our approach is. It's definitely unique from a player standpoint. So that was really all he said. But again, it just is another, like, it just is so reassuring when you listen to him talk, in every interview, every press conference, just how prepared I think this team is going to be as we head into a pretty important season.
Yes. Smart coach, smart GM. They're in good hands.
I believe it's
a fun time to be a Browns fan. I think that's part of the reason why everyone's, like, going at each other, because everyone's just bored. But there's nothing to complain about with the Browns. So we're just like, let's
start. I was just talking about that with a coworker the other day, because we were like, well, usually around this time of year, I don't know, someone is getting arrested or someone is saying something stupid publicly, or they posted something dumb on social media, and there's none of that.
Yeah, nothing. So,
yeah. And I mean, and even though there's not as much media access as normal, like, media members are still not allowed in the locker rooms. There was rookie camp last week. Media presence was still limited. Press conferences are still going on over Zoom. So access to the team from people on the outside is still limited. But even if it wasn't, I don't think there would be any of those off the field storylines that has driven the off season the past few years.
No, there's just nothing.
Yeah. What's your saying there? What's your saying, Brittany? When the monster eats itself, that's what's happening in Browns. The monster is eating itself.
Yeah, it's like like Browns fans don't know how to handle success because
clearly we don't, because we are literally arguing over toilets and selfies. That's how we're spending our free time now.
Well, you're gonna have to explain that to me. I still don't know what's going on.
Okay, so what happened was
here we go. Everyone's doing it.
Do we need to get popcorn?
Every time
I pickle popcorn.
Anytime we start a story with that, you know it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Actually, okay. This is terrible. This is not a good story. But what had happened was somebody, a girl, sent a picture, like she tweeted a picture of her in the bathroom of somewhere. And there was, it's a bathroom, so there was a toilet behind her, because why wouldn't there be? It's a bathroom. So then this other girl.
Oh, gosh.
It all tied into the plagiarism thing with the with Nick. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So this other girl that works for that publication, she said, you know, this guy doesn't get shook over girls that take pictures with toilets. And now it's this whole phenomenon where people are just taking pictures with toilets. That's how bored we are. We need something to happen because we can't continue like this until September. We're gonna kill each other.
So okay, so let's
bring this back to say. I don't know.
Let's bring this back to football for just a second. Remember during the year, and we can even go back and listen to our old pods. But remember how every single time the Browns did something good, and we blame Steelers fans for moving the goalposts. But during the season, it was the Browns fans moving the goalposts. Like, yay, the Browns won. Oh, barely. The Browns won. It was a bad team. The Browns won. Make sure it's a meaningful game. Win a meaningful game. Oh, well, their offense sucked. Like, that's how it was every single week. And we addressed that every single week on the podcast of how every single time the Browns went, oh, they won a meaningful game. Well, but Baker wasn't lights out. So then the next game, Baker wasn't, you know, Baker was lights out. Well, this,
but the weather.
Every single time. And I remember saying, and we all said this, was it was just like Browns fans don't know how to handle winning. They just need
it's so annoying
something, like, yeah they just like need to find something to be upset, angry, or complain about, and now this team is giving them nothing to be upset about, nothing to be to complain about. And since there's no games happening where people can argue, well, Baker only threw 7 touchdowns instead of 10 touchdowns, you know, Nick Chubb only ran for 999 yards. Why couldn't he get that 1,000th yard? You know, like that kind of argument that we were dealing with last year, that's not happening right now because there's no game. So they have to find something. I think Browns fans just need to take a deep breath.
The toilets are moving.
I think they just need to go to therapy. Like, there's something wrong with these people. Let's just be honest. This isn't normal grown adult behavior, any of it.
No, my nephews are more mature than this most of the time.
It's like, I'm really happy.
I miss the toilet thing. So thank you for filling me in on that. I think I'm sorry happy that I missed that.
I'm sorry that those words had to leave my mouth. Any of them.
Oh, we have someone. I have to read this comment from Australia. Did you know our toilet water spins in the opposite direction to yours? Because yes, I've heard that before. And I really want to go to Australia just to see.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the opposite direction. Yeah, because they're in a different hemisphere than we are.
Would I notice if a toilet water spun in a different direction?
I don't know what it spins. Is it clockwise now?
For us, it's, which means it would spin counterclockwise in Australia.
Huh. Look at that.
Hi, Australia. David from Australia.
David is so nice. He's tuning in. He sent my kids a birthday message this past year, and my kids are big fans of Bluey, which is an Australian, like, it's an Australian character voiced cartoon, little dogs. It's the best. And my kids think he is Bluey pretty much. So he's like a little celebrity, but David is the nicest guy. So thanks, David, for tuning in.
I love like random trivia facts like that so much. That's why I got so excited, because when he brought it up, I like that type of thing. Gets me going, like, just bring up random nonsensical trivia. No, it's not that it's nonsensical, but just like out of the blue trivia. I love it, absolutely love it.
Meanwhile, like, before the show, Meredith was like, I'm not reading the comments, I get distracted. No, right? I ignore them. And then like literally someone was like, toilet water in Australia goes the opposite way. And she was like, Meredith, we must turn off the comments.
No, we can't. If we're going to get fun facts from Australia, those comments are staying on.
Oh, amazing. Do we have anything else we want to add about the toilet? Are we done with toilets? Are there any other fun facts about toilets?
I never want to look at a toilet again. Like, I'm so over it. I will go pee in the sink.
I had to pick up little dude today from preschool. I got the dreaded phone call from school of like, he's not feeling well. His stomach hurts. Like he was laying on the floor at preschool. I went and picked him up and I got him home and like, he seemed fine. And then all of a sudden he came to me and he looked just like white as a ghost. Like he was going to throw up. So I took him to the toilet, obviously. And then he just laid next to it. So I have also had my fair share of toilets today. So I am also done with toilets.
Did he ever actually throw up?
No, he just laid there for like, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then I picked him up and he would just go through like random bouts of telling me his like stomach hurt, like just pain. I know. So I don't know what's going on with him. He had a little fever. So hopefully he knocks it tonight. He's supposed to have a big field trip tomorrow for school. So
hopefully he'll get better. I have also had my fill of toilets because so my parents are coming to visit. So after I got my second vaccine shot, my parents were like, all right, 2 weeks after your second shot, we're coming to visit. And I thought they were like joking that it was going to be a little bit longer. No, like they're coming tomorrow. And I'm so excited because I haven't seen them in a year and a half. But then I was also like, yeah, so I'm so thrilled to see my parents. But also I was like, oh crap, I have to clean my apartment. So I spent a good like 2 hours
on your toilet.
Not just the toilet, but I was like deep cleaning a lot of different things, like the kitchen, my bedroom, the toilet. So like when I turned off my camera a few minutes ago, I had to go run to the bathroom because I heard my cat back there and I wanted to make sure she wasn't getting into any of the chemicals that I used to clean. So yeah, after like spending my entire afternoon trying to like just deep clean my whole apartment in preparation for my parents coming, I have also had my fill of toilets today.
All right. Enough toilet talk. We are done with toilets. We're done. We're done. Yeah. We're done with the show. This is enough. We're done. We will carry over our last talk. We'll talk. We can talk about JC Treader next episode. I'm sure there'll be more to come out of that.
There's a few topics. Maybe we should like tease next show because we definitely have to talk about JC Treader stuff. So for those of you who don't know, I mean, I'm sure most of you do. JC Treader has been pushing for a completely virtual off season for a few weeks now. Rookies did show up to rookie camp last week, but some of the veterans haven't been showing up. So one of the veterans that wasn't was Juwan James, who was an offensive tackle for the Broncos. And he tore his Achilles while he was like working out outside of the facility. And as a result, the Broncos cut him. And now that has become a little bit of drama among the players, the PA, the NFL, and everyone. And there has been, I have heard some players are not super thrilled with JC Treader. JC Treader has penned letters on the NFLPA website, so you can go read it. So we definitely have to get into it next week because I have a lot of opinions on that. There's also some baseball stuff that I want to ask you guys about, but I'll send it to you guys and see if you guys want to talk about it. But like there are some weird things happening in baseball right now, and I kind of want to get your guys' opinions on them.
Well, we will talk about that next week. We can also talk about sinks if we would like.
Yes, that'll be next week's topic. We'll do sinks and dishwashers.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So we will pick an appliance and talk about it next week. So if anyone has any fun facts about sinks, let us know. We thank you guys for tuning in tonight with us. We are live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'll hopefully continue to do this. You guys can check us out on any of those platforms. We have a Facebook page, Girl Gang Klee. So go ahead and follow us there. Facebook is your thing. Our YouTube channel is also Girl Gang CLE. And then obviously on Twitter, you can find us at our individual handles. Go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Odyssey. I always want to call it Audacity. That's not right. It's not Audacity. It's Odyssey. Again, if you could rate and review us, we appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys all next week.